Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. This is Kevin.
This is Remy.
And we hope you guys are having a good beginning of 2025. This is our first time to record this year, right?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. It's like, I feel like we haven't recorded an episode in a pretty long time because we got a whole bunch wrapped up towards the end of last year. And so, yeah, this is the first episode that we've had two or three come out this year already, but those were all recorded over Christmas break, or the one we released last week was recorded like a year ago, or
yeah,
maybe a little less.
But it was like April, I think.
Yeah, we recorded that one about state contests and was like, well, state contest is like next week, so we just hung on to it for a little while and. Went ahead and released it now, or, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago. I don't know what's happening, but released it on a little bit better timeline for you guys. Hopefully some of you are able to listen to that and get some help.
Yeah. We made that decision for you guys.
Yes.
So yeah, before we released that episode, we had talked about a lot of solo material. So hopefully you guys were able to find some good information there, and we're going to kind of just take that right into the next obvious topic, which is percussion ensembles. And Remy and I are going to kind of take time, kind of talk individually through kind of what we use, like the process that we use in order to pick our ensembles. And we'll do, I think the process is probably pretty close to the same for, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th high school. It's probably all the same, maybe a little bit more in depth for high school stuff. But yeah, talk about that. And then we're going to talk about just some pieces that we have had success with over our, you know, teaching careers that we've had. And maybe you'll be able to find a couple of new pieces that you've never heard of, or you can be confirmed in the choices that you have already chosen if we end up picking the same. So we can jump right into that. Do you, Remy, want to actually, I just saw you take a drink of something. What are you drinking?
It's like one of those like naked juice Bolthouse farm things.
Nice. Yeah. Yummy. Is it good?
Yeah, it's good. I'm trying to up my vitamin C right now. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm kind of slightly sick, slightly under the weather. Which we've had crazy weird weather this so far this week in Oklahoma. It was like 70 degrees on Monday, and then today it was like 40 degrees. It was like there's like a 40 degree swing or something the last day.
And then I saw something we're supposed tomorrow. To
have. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. So that's Oklahoma. Kind of like Kevin said, hopefully we can give you some ideas here about percussion ensemble. And I wanted to say one thing before we really got into it. Your percussionists need to be doing percussion ensemble. It doesn't matter. Well, that's not true. I was going to say it doesn't matter what the ensemble is. It just at the very basic level, it doesn't matter what the ensemble is. They just need to be doing a percussion ensemble without winds. They need that for their development of, you know, like their musicianship. They need that so that they feel like they're a little bit, you know, so that they don't feel like they're just stuck in the back of the band all the time. And I'm kind of talking towards like, maybe smaller programs that don't have the luxury of having, you know, one of us handsome percussion directors, talented, handsome, no, but yeah, like, you know, that's, you know, a smaller group or a smaller school that doesn't have a full-time percussion person. Like, even if you have to stay after school once a week, just to put together a really easy percussion ensemble, with your high school percussionist, with your middle school percussionist, please do that because it really does make a huge difference. I remember, in middle school doing a percussion ensemble with one of our just regular band directors. And it was really cool to just like, you know, see that director invest some time in us and some energy into us and get to do, you know, something where it kind of like puts percussion on, you know, in the spotlight rather than in the back row playing a triangle six times or something. So especially in this season where marching band isn't happening. And if you're at a school that does indoor, then that's great. You're probably really busy, but in my opinion, you know, you can work on percussion ensemble instead.
Yeah. And I think it's just, I think those percussionists, especially the young ones, seventh, eighth grade and beginners can just start to really develop those rehearsal skills. Because for a percussionist to rehearse a percussion ensemble, it's way different than them rehearsing in a concert band because they kind of have to be on the whole time they're in a percussion ensemble rehearsal. And in a concert band, it's not, you know, it's not the same thing. If you're rehearsing something and you're playing triangle in a concert band piece, you're not as focused, you're not as on, but generally every percussion ensemble part is most of the time equally important. And so they're learning those rehearsal skills and also just being the main instruments for a piece that they rarely get to do that. So like Remy said, even if it's pretty easy, sometimes the easiest pieces can bring out, you know, more challenges than you would expect for especially for those younger kids. So yes, good info. Yeah. Do you want to talk about your process of picking ensembles?
Yeah, I'll just kind of take what you were talking about there. So we'll start with like how I choose percussion ensembles for younger groups. So kind of like what you were saying, you're talking about like, even if it's easy. So I don't pick, you know, relatively difficult music for my sixth or really even seventh graders. Definitely not sixth, right? I mean, they're just, you really want them to just play like some of the rhythms that you've learned that year, you know, up to maybe some wantites and wantetas, things like that. Some 16th rhythms. Sorry, I'm going to cough here for a second. I'm going to mute myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like Remy was saying, just being able to take the rhythms that you've learned and then applying that to a piece. So it could be even as simple as you writing something that kind of includes all those rhythms, and it could be in unison, or it can be in maybe you divide the class into two or three, four or five parts. Just trying to make them perform what they already know, I think is the best thing you can do with the youngins.
Yeah. And so, hey, I'm back. So I've done that in the past. I've just like written something out. I think I'm going to revamp it a little bit this year and just add more parts. But yeah, it's like you have like drum one, drum two, auxiliary one, auxiliary two, and they can sort of be played on any instrument like that. It's almost like a flex arrangement for percussion ensemble. So that stuff works really well for beginners. I know there's a piece that you showed me a couple of years ago, Lattes on the House, but is it Chris Rude, I think?
It is, yeah, Chris Rude.
Yeah. And that's a tap space piece. But that's a really great one. It's kind of similar. I think there's five parts. And you know, when I have usually around 20 beginning percussionists, you can put, you know, four or five kids on each of those parts and then have them play in groups, and it works out really well, you know, and you know, it's not an amazing piece of music or anything like that, but it's like, it's a really good piece to have your sixth graders learn and play through. It's a good length. It's like pretty through composed. There's not a lot of patterns. There's not a lot of repeats necessarily. So they're having to read it the whole time. It's not like their part is the same the entire time and they can just kind of check out. They have to be reading the whole time. So I like that one, but yeah, just that process of finding something that is appropriate for a beginner. And like Kevin said, just kind of going through, you know, that might mean making a list of rhythms that you don't want, and you've got to look through some scores and make sure that there's not a rhythm in there that you haven't taught. Or if there is a rhythm that you haven't taught, then you need to kind of weigh the options of like, should I try and teach this rhythm real quick, or should I wait until later?
Yeah. Yeah. And Lattes on the House is great. I'm probably on year like four, five or six of playing Lattes on the House just every year with my beginners.
Yeah. I think I've done it 3 or 4 years in a row now. So yeah. I think you found it and then like the next year shared it with me. So it might be one where like I just keep it as a tradition and, but maybe I'll write some, maybe I'll revamp that one that I've written as well.
Yeah. It's just like you said, it's actually pretty tricky only because once you get them all in their groups, the big skill they're learning is like, oh, the person next to me is playing something pretty completely different.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's not a piece where you play, you know, you learn da 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 and play it 25 times in a row. It's like, it's very through composed and it's actually tricky. Like it takes some time to get through. I've got 18 percussionists, so I've got like, you know, 3 or 4 on each part and then maybe not as many on like the tambourine and clave part. But yeah, that's a good piece and it's tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. Check that one out for sure. That's been both of our go-tos actually for our sixth grade ensembles. Anything else about that? Beginning ensembles? Just do an ensemble with them. Like they need to see that like this is something that exists.
Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't have to be anything crazy because the only time they're going to play this for me is at the combined percussion ensemble concert. And so you really just want, number one, those kids to be able to play something really confidently. Number two, you want the parents to hear that and be like, oh, that was really cool. And that, like, I want my kid to continue to do this. And you just want the kids to be able to showcase what they've learned and not like give them something that is incredibly hard to where it's not going to come together very well.
Yeah, those are good points. I was going to say, you reminded me, you just want to set them up for success.
Yep.
So like what Kevin said there, just, it doesn't have to be overly difficult. You want it to be attainable for sure. And I still like when we get into high school, like I'll talk about that, like with my
my
second group, it's like, you just want things to be attainable. So yeah, all really good stuff. And it is, you got to think about your parents too. The band parents that this is their first time experiencing any sort of band, like they weren't in band themselves. They don't necessarily get it. And so you have to kind of like think about the impression that it's going to make on them. And you want them to see their kid like, oh, they're not standing in the back. Like they're up front and we do the same thing. Like we just have the beginners play on the combined percussion ensemble concert. So good stuff. Want to move into middle school, 7th and 8th?
Yeah. Yeah.
In your mind, do you have a distinction between middle school and junior high?
I do because we have like in my head, I've got like my middle school is 6th grade and 7th grade. And then we have a junior high that has like our 8th graders and our 9th graders in it. And so yeah, in my head, like our 8th graders and 9th graders are junior high kids. And then my 7th grade and 6th grade are middle school.
Gotcha. Okay. See, we don't have a junior high. Like,
yeah,
I've never gone to a school or taught at a school that had a junior high. So that's never been part of my vernacular. It's always just been
middle school. Maybe we just use the numbers.
No, it doesn't matter to me. I know that means different things to everybody, but you know, generally I lump 9th grade in with high school,
which I mean, I do too. That's 9th grade when it comes to our programs, like they're just high school band members. But, when we're talking about 7th grade stuff, this is where I do try to start picking pieces that are going to give more of a challenge. I try to think about the topics that they want to get better at. So again, like more ensemble listening skills, more extended techniques. So a piece that I did last year that was a pretty big challenge for the kids was called Undisclosed, and it was by Chad Heine. Do you know that piece?
Yes, we played it last year also.
Copycat.
Yeah, we played it with my eighth graders last year, but
yeah,
it was a tricky piece.
It's a challenge for seventh grade for sure. It was like they start to incorporate diddles in there, so like you've got to have three kids that can approach diddles pretty well, and then the speed of it is just tricky. And the intro of that piece is what makes it really tricky, because it's kind of like a slow intro with like quarter note triplets and six 16th rests and stuff like that. That's just really
well, and it's real, if I remember right, it's really sparse at the beginning. It's like yeah. that slow largo tempo,
yes. yeah.
and there's like long sustained buzz like that, roll. Yeah. Oh, well, no, I did it with a combined seventh and eighth grade last year. So I did okay. I did have mostly yeah. seventh graders playing it.
Yeah. Well, I use it to test out fifth graders.
Yeah. So I did it with a preschool ensemble and,
well, I used to work in a,
they were also donating blood at the same time that they performed.
I used to work in a newborn clinic and no, I didn't. That got really weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, that piece is good by Chad Heine, Undisclosed, is really good. But again, I think when you're thinking about seventh grade stuff is like find a way to really look at pieces that are going to start challenging them. Right now I'm playing a piece called Festival of the New Sun by Alex Keown. Is that Keown? Keown?
Spell it again.
Keown.
Keown.
Keown. Yeah. Alex Keown, but it's a really cool piece. It's kind of like it's independence in parts, but also like there's like two snares and two sets of toms, and they kind of do little duets and then also play by themselves. So it's kind of like playing in groups and also still being individual. It's got a really cool timpani solo part in it. I would say it's a pretty like traditional, straightforward percussion ensemble. It doesn't get too crazy and out there. It's just very like it makes sense, and it uses a bunch of rhythms that like seventh graders should be pretty confident on. But yeah, that was Festival of the New Sun. I've been doing that one ever since I've had my job, because I found that one pretty early.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't checked that one out. I'll have to. Couple of mine here for like this seventh grade. There's some collections that you can go through. But I always really like there's a couple that Mitchell Peters wrote. So there's like A La Samba and A La Nanigo that are both really, really great for seventh and eighth grade. But usually I can get seventh graders to do that. So we did one of those last year with seventh grade. It was, again, it was combined. So it's my school's kind of in a weird situation where last year I had almost no eighth graders, but I had a lot of seventh graders, and those classes are at the same time. So last year I taught seventh and eighth grade percussion at the same time, because it was like 8 seventh grade kids and then 2 eighth grade kids. And then I had that like at each middle school. So it was just like, obviously we would have had to do like a duet or something, you know, with the eighth graders. So we just lumped them all in. So it was mostly seventh grade that I was working with last year. But yeah, both of those pieces by Mitchell Peters are really good. I know there's more, and I'm at home on my personal computer, so I don't have my library that's on my school computer.
There another one we've played is
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Yeah.
I was going to say pretty much anything by Jared Spears.
I was going to go into that in a minute. The piece I was about to say was Begin Transmission by John Herndon. I think you've done that, or at least heard of it. That one's a good one too. That one's probably like, you probably can't do that with eighth grade. And I mean, if you've got a really good eighth grade class, I wouldn't, that's not as big of a challenge, but it's good for seventh grade. But yes, I think it's a good time to talk about Jared Spears. Jared Spears is like kind of that old school classic percussion ensemble composer. You know, I've got a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like 7 or 8 pieces that I consistently kind of keep in a rotation just to make sure I kind of hit every so often, because they're, you know, and pretty much all of them are like, every band program has these instruments. It's like always like bass drum, snare drum, timpani, suspended cymbal, wood block. I mean, that's pretty much, it's like your normal concert band instrumentation. But he does a really good job of you know, using different approaches on those instruments to make really good pieces. Do you want to throw, you have some of those names that you wanted to throw out?
Sorry, I keep muting myself in case, in case I start coughing. Yeah, so like Ceremonium is one I do a lot. Mosaics is one that I do a lot.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to put that on my list.
That's it. Yeah, those are both good. Gosh.
So Bayport Sketch.
Bayport Sketch is the big one. That's a really good one for, I guess, probably eighth grade.
I was going to say that's, I'm doing it with my eighth graders right now.
Yeah, that's, I actually love that piece. And then Woven Tales, that's Jared Spears, isn't it?
I think
that's an easier one.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got Scamper.
I'll Scamper. I don't know that.
You don't know Scamper. Okay. Scamper and Spiritus or Toos. Cameo Suite. Did you say Kaleidoscope? No, you said Ceremonium. I like Ceremonium.
Yeah, I know Kaleidoscope's a good one too.
Kaleidoscope. So yeah, any of those Jared Spears pieces are great. They're just kind of your classic percussion ensembles that go back. I don't remember exactly when those were being written, but.
Yeah, 60s or 70s, I think. Yeah. And it was just, you know, one of those. It's just like the quintessential percussion ensemble sound that, you know, that I think it became, you know, that expected sound because they were some of the earliest percussion ensembles that were written. And, you know, there were things written earlier, obviously, but it was some of the most popular stuff written and then actually performed by schools. Like I remember talking with our teacher and our college professor and him talking about Yellow After the Rain being like this hot new formal solo in like the 70s or whatever. And everybody in high school and college was playing Yellow After the Rain. But and it's like, it's funny. Like we've, you know, percussion has just come so far, but, and not anything against that piece. I've got like 5 kids playing that piece this year. That's part of the path that I put kids on, but anyway, it's funny to think that like, you know, that was like it, that was like the meat and potatoes of percussion for a long time. And, but so I kind of feel like a responsibility to keep playing that stuff because it's just really, it's good music and it's good fundamentals. It's good ensemble listening skills. And that's really all you're trying to do in that seventh and eighth grade range, sometimes ninth grade, depending on the student or the ensemble, but you're really just trying to use percussion as a like a vehicle to teach your kids, like you were saying earlier, how to rehearse, you know, not like text on your phone for 15 minutes and be like, oh, my triangle note's coming up or whatever, like how to actually stay engaged in rehearsal and how to listen to your part and how to play a melody and how to play a counter melody and how to play an accompaniment and all these different things. So
yeah,
all of Jared Spears' music does that really well. Shout out Jared Spears.
Yeah. He does a good job of like, and I think another
RIP probably.
Yeah. I'm not sure. But another part of his stuff is like, he does a really good job of making it where they can listen to each other really well. And like the rhythms match really well together. And there's always like a melody. He uses like toms really well for like melodic stuff all the time. He just uses all of the percussion instruments in those pieces as like super important parts. And yeah, just quintessential and really good. And I will pretty much, if I'm struggling finding a piece for my, my bottom ensemble for high school, I pretty much always run to one of his pieces for that. Not to say kids are worse or I'm not naming any names, but like his pieces are always good. If you have some struggling high school kids that need a really good piece, those are really good. And especially if you want to put like, if you've got a kid that like never gets to play snare drum on anything, it's like, get them on one of his pieces. Cause those are like still attainable, but good snare drum parts. And same with like timpani and stuff like that. So it's like putting your struggle high school kids like onto a piece that's really good that they can really develop and be the leading members of an ensemble. So you're muted, by the way.
Thanks. Sorry, I keep forgetting. He's alive. I think Jared Spears is alive. Yeah. Born in.
Joining us on the podcast right now is Mr. Jared.
Yeah, born in 1936, aged 88.
So he needs to write some more.
Yeah, well, just going through like the Wikipedia here, he obviously has a lot of percussion ensemble.
I think he has like band stuff too.
He has a bunch of band compositions.
Which I don't know if I've ever played or
I don't think I ever have
one of his band pieces before, but
no, they're all very
stay in your lane, Jared.
Yeah, you know those band. Oh gosh, it's like band contest piece title generators or whatever. And it's like you pick a letter and a number, and it like comes up with like Eagle's Nest Canyon or whatever.
Eagle Nest Overture.
They're very like that Forest Park Overture.
Yeah, those. Yeah, like we're playing
Thunder Mountain Overture, New Century, Westward Trails, March of the Martian Chickens.
Yeah.
We should play that.
Yeah.
For OSSAA.
Yeah. Our seventh grade is playing Valley Forge March. It's like those typical, those names.
Gotta play them though.
Yeah. So let's, I mean, you got anything else on the young kid side of things?
No, the only thing I would say is like the difference between like your seventh and eighth grade. You're obviously, you want to put your kids on a progression of more difficult pieces. More difficult doesn't always mean more notes necessarily, but you know, like that undisclosed piece you're talking about, like it can be just like moments in a piece, textures, like percussion ensembles are really good way to expose kids to like new concepts. So I know like my first year here at my job, we did this piece. I'm looking it up right now because I don't want to say it incorrectly. Okay. So I think it's pronounced Killarney. Anyway, it's Kevin Lepper. It's a sextet. It's for six people, but we ended up like, I think it's like two mallet parts and then there's like four percussion parts. And we just doubled the mallet parts and made it for eight. Like that's one thing I was going to talk about too, is instrumentation, but, they had never like done any compound meter 6/8, 12/8. And so we did that piece and it was like, oh, now that entire group of kids understands 6/8 and 12/8 really well. And it only took, you know, a couple months of working on a percussion ensemble to do it. Yeah. So yeah, just using it as an opportunity to like teach a new concept is good too.
Yeah. Doubling mallet parts and stuff, like, especially for my young kids, we don't take like 6th, 7th, or 8th grade to a formal festival.
Right.
We just do like an in-house thing and we do a percussion ensemble concert. So you can follow your own rules there. If you need to cut a section of a piece, just do it. If you need to double up on random parts, do it. Like, you don't have to pick perfect instrumentation when you're trying to pick these pieces. If you find the perfect piece and it has six kids and or six parts and you have seven kids, just double up one of the parts. Or look that last kid in the face and say, you're not good enough.
Yeah.
And you're sorry, not doing Timmy. It. I'm just kidding. But yeah, like break the rules a little bit.
Pit two kids against each other and you're like, how fast can you play flam drags? Yeah. Here we go.
Battle to the death. But
jinx.
Yeah,
you said something. It's just like, it doesn't matter. And there is no perfect instrumentation when it comes to this. Like, I mean, you know, there are a lot of quartets, there are a lot of quintets, there are a lot of octets, and then everything else is just kind of like, you know, there's not a percussion ensemble that has 20 parts. Like, I mean, there's probably a handful, but you know, you're going to max out at usually like 12 or 13 is like most of the percussion orchestra pieces. So you're always going to have to double or split your kids up somehow, you know? So you've got to be smart about what you double though. So like Kevin's talking about, like double the mallet part, right? Don't double like a suspended cymbal part, or don't double, or honestly, don't double anything except mallets in my opinion, unless it's a complete drum ensemble, like that Lattes on the House we were talking about or whatever. Yeah, don't double anything that isn't a mallet instrument. You know, it just the balance just doesn't work.
Yeah, and the odds are that your kids probably need that mallet part. Like they need to progress on that mallet part. Because generally, seventh and eighth grade, your kids are still going to be much lower proficiency wise on mallets than they should be on snare drum, just because right. they're still progressing at reading and stuff like that. Yeah, so let's move on to some high school stuff, and I was just going to talk about kind of the process that I go through really quick of picking percussion ensemble stuff, and I bet yours will be pretty similar. So I know that I think you do the process. I just like,
you know, pick numbers out of a hat.
Yeah. I think you do the process of like your like whatever you're like you group them up into one concert band group and then the second group. Am I right?
I
like
mean,
the concert bands.
I call it like percussion ensemble one, percussion ensemble two.
Yeah. So,
but it's essentially like the upper band and the lower band is kind of how it's split up.
Yeah. So how I kind of do it is I look at my, cause I can't, if I did it like that, my numbers would be a little bit wonky because, you know, I think I have seven kids in we call it the wind ensemble. And then there's like 15 in the symphonic band. So what I try to do is I always have like this document on my computer that's pretty much opened all the time. It's called percussion personnel, percussion perspective. And I have them all like
potato
labeled with their, like they're all color coded by their grade level. So like when I put in a new set of sixth graders, they get like a new color as like the background color. And then it just moves up as they go. So like, as I move them up, they're all just still in the same color, but that doesn't necessarily work with percussion ensembles because I may have I'm not going to name any kids again, but I have some freshmen right now that are like a little more proficient than some of my juniors and, you know, stuff like that. So, cause kids progress at different levels. So I try to like group my kids up into ability levels and like basically in ability levels as best I can. So like what group needs to be like, who needs to be in this group? And then it kind of makes it where I end up having three or four groups. And then I kind of pick from there. So like one group could be a couple of seniors and a junior and a freshman. And then the second group could be a lot of freshmen and a couple of sophomores. You get what I'm saying? So I group them together like that and then try to find what pieces are going to work for them at their ability level.
Yeah, because it goes back to like you want everybody to have a good time, right? And you want everybody to achieve. Like people aren't going to have a good time if you give them something that's incredibly difficult or if you give the wrong group of students something that's incredibly difficult, right? Like we're playing a piece with the top group right now. We're playing that Gillingham concertino for solo percussion. It's like crazy hard. But I put my four best percussion students on it, and they're killing it. And we have a concert a week from tonight. I'm really excited for them to perform that piece. But it's like if I were to give that to another four of my kids, they would just quit. Like they'd be like, "I'm not learning this. No way." So you have to really. I like that you're talking about that. I don't have a document like that per se, but I do. I mean, I use Google Sheets all the time. Like. And I've just got several docs of, you know, part assignments and what we've played in the past and blah, blah, blah. I try to keep track of like what I am assigning each kid so that I'm not just giving the kid like, oh, this kid's played timpani on every percussion ensemble for the last 4 years. Like that kind of stinks. So I try to keep track of that stuff and make sure, you know, from year to year that I'm spreading that out. But yeah, I like that. Like I don't have quite as many high school kids as you do right now. So it actually works out. I have like 8 in the top group and I think I have 9 in the second group. So that works out. We're going to do this, piece. I'm going to pass it out, this week, start working on it as soon as that concert next week is over. And it's 13. So it's going to be like all of my top group. And then I'll probably just choose like 5 or whatever of,
that equals my, 13.
Right. 8 plus 5. Is that? Yeah, that's 13. Okay, good. Still got it.
Did you finish your statement?
I don't really know, honestly.
You'll have to combine your groups a little bit.
Right. Yeah, I don't have enough kids to have like 3 groups, but there's a really great piece, percussion orchestra piece, you know, that I want to play, and it's got like some really hard parts and then it's got some really easy parts, so it'll work out nicely.
Yeah. And I think when you're picking pieces, obviously it's like, what, how much time do you have? Do you have a percussion teacher to teach all these things? Because right. some years I can play 6 percussion ensembles, and then some years it's like, well, I'm going to more challenge the students. And so they might not need 2 or 3 pieces each. They probably need to just focus on their one or something. So this year we're just doing 3 percussion ensemble pieces, at least for contest. And we might add one for the concert at the end of the year. But let's talk about some pieces that we have liked to use in the past. Do you want to throw some out there? You want me to go first?
Yeah. For high school. Yeah, so I've got one. I'm going to start kind of like, I'm going to save the big guns for the end. You know what I mean? I'm not going to start off with like Honer or something. Yeah. So,
I don't know that one.
So, Suite Number 1, Fred Emery Smith. It's a really cool piece. It's a quintet. And it's a really good, like, lower level high school piece. There's some really cool things in it. It's just like a multi percussion. There's mallets, there's snare drum, there's timpani, there's toms. I think there's some wood blocks and stuff like that. And it's a longer piece too. We did it at, the last school that I taught at, and, we had like 5 high school percussionists, and I was like, great. I was a small school, obviously. And it's like worked out. They played really well, but so that's a really cool piece. Even smaller than that, variations on a Ghanaian theme. Man, I think that's Daniel Levitan.
That's not in any way related to Ghanaia, right?
It's not. Not the marimba solo. Okay. It's really cool. It's a trio, percussion trio. And it's one of those one, it's just like, it just starts and it goes, and it's in 6/8, 12/8 compound meter. You know, it's a lot of like a lot of those polyrhythms going back and forth between duple and triple within compound meter. And it's really cool. Pretty simple as far as like instrumentation. I think it's like, you know, bongos or kungas, log drums, and agogo bells or cowbells. And it's just like, that's all you play for the most part. And it's just really, really cool. Goes back and forth. There's a lot of really cool, like I said, polyrhythms and just pulse things. I always try to do it without a conductor, you know. And then a piece that I've been into recently, again, probably for like your younger high school group, is Black Racer. It's a quartet. I know you and I talked about it last week or so. I
love Black Racer.
Yeah, because I was looking for a quartet and I was like, I feel like I play Black Racer like every 2 years. But It's a really good like freshman quartet. So we tried it like 2 years ago with a freshman quartet, and they kind of pooped the bed with it. Like they just didn't put the time into it that they needed to. So I want to do it with a freshman quartet again this year. But that's Brian Bloom from Tap Space. He's got a lot of really good stuff on Tap Space. Shout out Brian, and welcome to the podcast.
Wow, we are like getting these guests in here.
Yeah. So anyway, those are three off the bat, and then you can, why don't you do a few and then we can move on.
Yeah. Black Racer is awesome.
I already said that.
Oh shoot. But I do like that piece, and you're right. It is a good, like you're aspiring young freshmen that are like gonna need a challenge. And,
yeah.
But they have to be able to practice. I'm going to stick with Brian Bloom for a minute. Alarm is pretty fun.
Okay.
Have you played that one?
No, but I've heard it.
So it's like bass drum in the middle, and then like it makes like a big V or an A without the middle part of the A.
Sure,
yeah. But it's like upside bass drum V on the top, and then like tom 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 on one side, or like snare snare snare. It's just like it's a drummy, you know, drummy ensemble, but teaches independence like crazy. You know, it's kind of I wouldn't say it's on the verge of like a bass drum split ensemble, but it's like entry level into that.
Yeah.
And you could probably do that with, if you had a pretty good eighth grade section, you could probably do that if you had enough kids. But that's Alarm. I love that piece. And then a couple of the pieces by Jim Casella are ones that I like to do often. Scuttlebutt is one that we'll play kind of every so often, just because it's one of those fun, groovy pieces. The audience loves it. The kids love it. There's like somehow my kids know, and I don't think I've played it with any of my current students. It's been a while, but they like somehow know about it. So they always ask, can we do that? So Scuttlebutt.
It's probably like a meme within your percussion culture probably at your school.
Yeah. So like Scuttlebutt, and Technology is a very popular kind of older one from Jim Casella, just that classic Mortal Kombat groove.
Yeah. We did that with my second ensemble group last year. And it's like, that's one that I really, if you like, it's really better to do it if you have a good eighth grade, it's really good to do it. It's almost, yeah, it's kind of hard to get a high school group to buy into it sometimes.
It's one of those pieces where you like, you have to have the right kids to like, it's kind of challenge. It's challenging for like eighth graders, but like, yeah, if you don't have it is
the Mortal Kombat theme. So it's like, if the kids don't have the right outlook, they can be like, this is lame, this is cheesy. And it's like, well, you know, what's lame? Not being able to play double stops.
Yeah.
Like, not being able to go cha 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 cha.
Yeah. And it's got those challenging like snare, timpani, and tom tom.
Yeah, there's solos in it.
Solos in it that are pretty tricky. But so yeah, those Jim Casella ones are fun.
Welcome to the podcast.
We just have every single composer of percussion ensembles on here. I also like, I'm going to name this one. I actually haven't played it yet, but I've had it and I just haven't been able, we haven't like had the right year to do it, but Stormbreak by Jim Casella, which is also, you can either play it as a percussion ensemble or you can play it with a wind ensemble with like the percussionist being the features of it. So that's kind of a fun one to look into if you're a band director wanting to like feature a good percussion section. That's a good piece to look at. And I don't think those parts are crazy hard.
No, they're not. I do remember that piece though. That one starts out with like it's like a suspended cymbal, like on a timpani, right?
Yeah. It's got, and you're like rolling extended, and like, yeah.
Yeah. So some cool, you were talking about extended techniques earlier and I thought, oh, Stormbreak. Yeah, I remember doing that in high school. I didn't play that timpani part, but I just remember looking and being like, whoa,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. Kind of neat stuff there. And then, yeah, that's kind of a first couple ones for me. So those are some good, like drummy and like younger high school things, not incredibly challenging. What you got? You got any more ones you want to talk about?
Yeah, one that this is one that I did. So, well, if we're talking like quintets and stuff, I mean,
we can go wherever we want.
Yeah. Well, are you going to say Sharp and Stick? That's one that I always play.
Go ahead. I mean, I'm playing it right now, but you can talk about it.
Okay. Well, I played it last year. Kevin's playing it this year, which means that I'll play it again next year. That's just like, that might be my favorite, like, quote unquote drummy percussion ensemble that I've ever played. It's just like, it's one of those pieces where it's like, I put it on my senior recital. Like it's definitely attainable by high. Yeah. You played in it. It's definitely attainable by high school kids, but they have to be good, right? It's like a lot of mixed meter, a lot of polyrhythms.
I wouldn't even say it's a lot of mixed meter.
Like, no, it just is. It's like
is
the entire
mixed
thing.
Meter.
Yeah, it's
like, I don't think
not,
you really stay, the only time you really ever stay in a time signature is like in 3/4 for just,
or well, there's 11 eighths or whatever.
Oh, right. Like, yes.
Over,
yeah,
and over,
it, like,
and over.
It is,
but it's
11
meter. Yeah, it's just the whole time. Yeah, and it's not mixed meter like alternating 4/4, 3/4. It's like
5/8, 7/8.
Yeah, it's
3/4,
just all
11/8, 9/8.
Yeah. Stuff. So that's a really great piece. Brett Dietz, teaches at LSU. There's a really good video of,
and now like on the him. Podcast, welcome.
Bum, bum, ba-da. And yeah, there's a really good video of like Brett and a few of, I don't know if it's like grad students or what, playing that online. I think that was just done like a few years ago.
Yeah, I think so.
So yeah, we played that last year. It's really, really great. I remember we actually took that to contest, just to district. We didn't take it to state because it was like, it's just a lot of gear to take.
Yep.
But I remember the judge was like, as soon as we were done, I think I told you this story, right?
Yeah,
do you remember,
I think
this?
So, yeah.
He was just like, literally screamed at the top of his lungs, "You don't have to be so loud the whole time." And I was just like, dude, you do not understand this piece then. Like, it's like mezzo forte or mezzo piano a few times. It's like, this is an aggressive piece. Anyway, that's one of my faves.
Yeah. That's a funny story.
Let's see, just rattle off a couple more here. Mas Fuerte, Stephen Rush. Do you know that piece?
Never played it, but yeah.
That's a fun one. Ogon Badagris. That's a really cool piece that I'm thinking about doing this year. After, like, we would add that like after contest and stuff after OKPAS. I can't remember who wrote that. But it's a really cool, it's a quintet again. And these are like, when you get into those higher level quintets, especially like the drummy quintets, you don't double those parts ever, you know, like if you're playing like a quartet with your top ensemble, but you have five kids, you don't double one part. It's like, that's when you leave someone out and you find somewhere else for them to go. Christopher Rouse, Ogon Badagris, really cool. Okay, it's about like a, it's like a programmatic work, kind of about like a voodoo, ritual or something. Really, really, really cool. Kind of like maybe like a step up in difficulty from Sharp and Stick, just as far as like ensemble playing, not as far as time signature.
Yeah, that piece, my gosh.
And then you want to get into like just some bigger ensembles?
Yeah. So I was going to say that's kind of what's left on my list, really, is like the, what we would kind of maybe consider percussion orchestra.
Yeah.
So if you've never heard that, it's basically just, you've got your entire family of keyboards. And then you've got a bigger family of, you know, multi percussion setups in the back. And these are honestly like my favorite pieces to do. It just feels like you're, like I'm honestly not that big of a fan of conducting a concert band, but like, that's what it feels like when you're conducting a full ensemble, but it's all just percussion stuff. So, some of the more entry level ones that aren't too crazy. I love Dark Filaments by Michael, Patacin, P-T-A-C-I-N. I love that piece. And these are all very similar. They kind of have that little starry metallic sound to them. Ellipsis by Nathan, is it Dougherty? I always just think Daughtry.
Dougherty.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think it's Nathan Daughtry. Michael Dougherty is the wind ensemble composer.
Okay, so it's Nathan Daughtry.
I think.
Either way.
I know Michael Dougherty because he came to OSU a few times.
Right.
But, I don't know. But yeah, Nathan D.
Yeah, so Ellipsis is great. Spiraling Light and Luminescence. Those three pieces I kind of have in my rotation all the time because they're just a really good. Luminescence, I think, is probably the hardest of those three. Just the mallet parts are harder and it's more intricate. Beacons of Light by Chad Heine. I think I was on some kind of weird star phase. Dark filaments, ellipsis, spiraling light, luminescence, beacons of light.
Just really into space.
But I think that's kind of a good title for those kind of pieces, just if you listen to them.
Well, yeah, anything that has like a Glockenspiel or Cortales.
Right.
Like, oh, starlight.
Stars.
Fanfare.
So I like those.
Eagle's Nest, Starlight, Fanfare.
I'm going to go back a little bit. This is one that's a piece we should have mentioned when we were talking about like eighth grade, but Ancient Voices, Distant Storms.
Oh, yeah, dang.
By Michael Varner. Really good piece. I haven't played it in a while, but it's one of those good pieces. I think it's five people.
Five or six.
And there's like a cool big unison drum section. It's a really good, well-written entry, or not entry level, but like eighth grade-ish percussion ensemble level that's just really, really good. It has good melody and a good challenges for the kids. We just played last year Factions by Lynn Glassick. That's a really fun one. Uses a lot of mixed meter, also some pretty challenging mallet parts. Aether by Francisco Perez. That one's a pretty big. It's got a lot of kids in it too. Big ensemble, I think. I may be wrong on that. Let me see how many it's got. Yeah, it's got a lot. 11 or 12. So that one's fun. Again, just big percussion ensemble piece. And then Blur by Cesar Gonzalez. Have you played Blur?
I have not. I've never even heard of that.
Okay, you should check that one out. That one's fun too. I forgot to put Mayhem on here, but I like Mayhem too. That one's Daniel Montoya Jr. That one's kind of a drummy one also, but yeah, those are what I had on my list for kind of bigger pieces. And I'll leave the one that you want to talk about off of my list.
Which one?
Honer.
You can talk. Just talk about it.
No. Okay. Well, I mean, Honer is obviously.
You've actually. I've never conducted it. I've never had enough students to do it.
My first
it's on
year.
My list.
Yeah, my first year at my school. So Honer by David Mislanka.
Yeah.
And you know what? When we were a couple episodes ago, we talked about like what was our when we were interviewing each other and we asked our favorite pieces. I should have said Honer. Because I kind of yes, exactly.
Playing that
when you
part,
hit that, when you hit
freaking,
that moment in the concert,
cow.
You're just like, oh yeah, whether you know the notes or not.
Right.
But yeah, I should have said Honer because that is probably one of my favorite moments in college was playing that. But yeah, we did that my first year at my school. I was a young aspiring percussion director. Yeah,
I came to that concert. I remember it was in the band room.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know you actually, I don't remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, me and Sarah both came to that. Thanks
I still
lot.
Have that
we
video
got,
on my...
We got tattoos about
on
it.
My, I still have that video on my iPad. It's okay. It's not the best thing we've ever heard, but...
You should... I just remembered that. I just remembered that video. No, I'm not talking about posting that. The one of you playing along on that piano.
That's still on my iPad too.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I've still got one.
You should post that video.
It's like that was like Christmas break or something. So like I was like my hair was all messed up and
you were just score study or something.
That was
and then,
funny. But yeah, aspiring percussion teacher wanting to play Honer right off the bat. So I had enough kids. So those parts are really not that hard.
Like no, they're not.
It's really not that hard of a piece. It's just, it's long and there's like, There's like moments you have to kind of like explain to the kids, like, this is how we're going to do this. And it's a very spiritual piece. And
yeah, it's a very mature piece, but yeah, like technically it is not that difficult.
Right. So that's a fun one. If you have, you know, you got to have enough kids, you got to have enough instruments. It takes like two sets of timpani and lots of mallets and some accessory things. And
yeah. Well, and one thing, if you don't know the story behind that, Robert Honer was the longtime percussion professor at Central Michigan University, worked with David Maslenka a lot, like commissioning works, like I think Crown of Thorns, and what's the Montana Music. I think both of those were commissioned, and they recorded a lot. They just brought David Maslenka out a lot, you know, to listen and do recordings and things like that. So they were really close, and he died very unexpectedly. Robert Honer did. And so David Maslenka wrote a piece as like a memorial for him. And the story that I was told was like, he wrote it for literally every instrument that CMU had. So it was written for two sets of timpani and like all these toms and bass drums and, as many as I think there are four marimba parts, but it was like, when you play it, you're supposed to like double or triple or quadruple the marimba parts. And it's just this, you know, there's these beautiful sweeping, you know, arpeggios all over these marimbas and marimba chorales. And it's just a really awesome piece.
Yeah. If you haven't heard it, if you have not heard that piece, look it up and listen to it at least.
Just and finish this episode and then just go listen to it.
If you're an educator and it should be a piece your kids can really dig and enjoy.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of my list. Do you have some of those bigger ones you'd like to
chat
about?
I'll just talk about a couple. So maybe talk like composers so I really like, David Maslenka is like my favorite composer. I think we've talked about that before. So, Honer is probably his most approachable percussion ensemble. Montana Music and, Crown of Thorns are both smaller, but much more difficult, much more chamber music. So David Gillingham, I just like David composers. David Gillingham, he writes really well for percussion ensemble. We played a couple years ago, Stained Glass. That's one of my favorite pieces. That's a really great percussion orchestra piece. Pretty tough. You've got to have, again, some pretty talented kids. Really anything by Gillingham. Pascal Dances is another one. It's just kind of one of those, you know, staples in the literature for percussion orchestra. And those are both ones that like we played in college too, but there's no reason that a good high school group can't play them. Yeah. And I still kick myself for not getting a recording of Stained Glass when we played it 2 years ago, because it was just like, it was just really good. So yeah, anything by David Gillingham for percussion ensemble, I'm really a fan of. There's a piece called Sextet by Ivan Trevino that I really like. I think it's called Six.
Yeah, I think it's just Six.
I think it's just called Six, but it is a sextet. I really like that piece. I've thought about bringing that one back out. That's a good, you know, that's a good ensemble for your high school kids. Just Six.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Sextet is a Steve Reich piece that you should not play with your high school kids. There are like two more that I was, the piece that I'm going to play this semester. It's a Casey Cangelosi piece called Ochio. Do you know that piece?
I think I've probably heard it, but
yeah,
never played it.
I've got the score sitting right over here. It's a tone poem, if that matters, but it's three movements. I really like the second movement, the scherzo movement. It's just like got this really cool little, it's in a fast three, right? It's a scherzo, so it's in a fast three, and the marimba parts are really cool. It's got this really aggressive B section, C section. I don't know what the form of the piece would be. But it's just it's a really cool piece. We're going to play that one this year. But yeah, I mean, there's just a lot that we could talk about.
Yeah.
I could just keep talking about this forever.
Yeah.
I did want to talk about like some resources to find percussion ensembles. So you can always go through like JW Pepper and blah, blah, blah. And JW Pepper actually has like some legit publishers, but you know, Tapspace is a good one, especially for newer works that it almost seems like, I don't know, 75% of new percussion ensembles that aren't self-published people are coming out on Tapspace. Let's see, Drop Six. You can find some older ones there. Roloff still has a lot of good stuff. I think like the Jim Casella stuff. I think that's all Roloff.
If I'm ever going to do a percussion ensemble piece for like a concert or a Christmas concert, I try to I hit up Roloff because they tend to have like I have this one Holiday Hoopla.
Yeah, they have a bunch of pops stuff for sure. But if you're looking like, you know, if you're trying to be highbrow and go like serious literature, then you're going to go through like C. Allen Publications or is it Harlan? I don't remember the publisher that like Meslenka is in. It's like,
couldn't tell you actually.
Yeah, I want to say Harlan, but I don't think that's right. No, Harlan Percussion is like a tambourine manufacturer. Anyway.
Black Swamp?
Yeah. But, you know, like, yeah, just some of those resources to go to. Some of those publishing websites are a good place to start.
Yeah. And just individuals, too. I've been trying to, every year I look at our buddy Adam Bruce's stuff. And
oh yeah, I want to play Hive Mind.
Yeah, there's stuff I want to play of his. It has to come down to like the right kids.
Yeah,
and but every year he's on my list of looking at his stuff for a percussion ensemble piece, and I think he's consistently doing more. But
yeah, and I think he's published on C. Allen,
and he's got some on his. Mistaken. I think his own,
and then he self publishes
some. Too. I think I'm not sure about that, but I think he does.
Shout out Adam
on some of it. Yeah. Welcome well, yeah, that podcast. that was a lot of information. Hopefully that was useful and beneficial for you to be inspired to start kind of building up your own catalog of percussion ensemble pieces. You know, whether you buy them all or not, just having them in a list is really useful. I have just a percussion ensemble list that I always have that I always just update new pieces that I put in and what year I played them and kind of their ability levels and stuff like that. But yeah, any pieces that you guys have that we did not mention, we did not mention all of them. I don't think we mentioned all of them.
So many that we did not mention.
But if you have pieces that you like to recommend, shoot us an email. Let us know. We will mention you and that piece on our next episode. And yeah, you got any more percussion ensemble knowledges to throw with them?
No, other than just... Go have percussion ensemble.
Go do it.
Before school, during school, after school, whatever you got to do.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed. Yeah. And we will we'll see you on the next one.
Later on the menu.